Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Press Row Podcast. I am so happy to be here. Nothing makes me happier than talking to my friend Brian Wiedeye about sports video games. Brian Wiedeye, Pasta Padre. How are you, my friend?
Hey, doing well, Rich. Happy to be back with you. Following up on our last podcast, which I think was in December? Yeah, it was in December as we closed the year. And, you know, we've got some developments here going on between... You know, MLB The Show announcing the new game and and just what we have been playing, spending a lot of time playing and going through some different types of experiences through these Madden leagues we've been in that we've been having a lot of fun with and facing different challenges and stuff. So it's exciting to be back talking with you again and let's see how this goes.
So before we get into the Madden stuff, the last time we spoke, I believe that I was enjoying Forza Horizon 5 at that point. Does that sound right to you?
That is a safe assumption for any Forza, and that.
Well, I did not. I had a really rough relationship with Forza Horizon 4.
Yeah, you got.
So I was overwhelmed. Reticent about it. Yeah, yeah, completely.
Too many things, too many places to be, not knowing where to go.
That was a big part of it.
Yes.
But Forza Horizon 5, I am still playing it all the time. I don't know what this means, and I'm not saying it to brag because if you don't even know what something means, I don't know how you would brag, but I'm a level 95 in Forza Horizon 5.
I can't tell you.
I was just invited to the Hall of Fame, like literally today on the treadmill. As I won a race, I got a notification that said, "You're invited to the Hall of Fame." Don't know what that means, but I don't think I've ever been invited to any other Hall of Fame, Brian Wiedeye. I'm looking forward to that ceremony for me.
Yeah, I don't have any idea what it means either, but it's only good thing. And was it an achievement?
I don't think I saw an achievement thingy pop up, but of course I'm playing all of this on the treadmill, so it's possible that something like that could be missed. But I don't think, you know, because when the achievements come up on the Xbox, what do they call this thing? Series X. It's nice, right? You know, there's a very pleasant sound that it makes and a very high definition, you know, achievement jewel that shows up and stuff. So I have a feeling I would remember that. I don't think there was an achievement. But I actually booted up the Xbox because we're going to be talking about some Madden specifics, and I turned it on real quick, and it's still there next to my 5.4 million credits because I never buy anything.
You don't buy any vehicles, huh?
I don't ever need to. Yeah. I mean, I just go around racing all these different races. I filter the map by different types of race, street races, dirt races. Well, you know, there's like six kinds of races, and then I just go knock off each race. Individual race, I go win each one. Sometimes it takes me one time. Sometimes it takes me five times. Sometimes it takes me 10. Usually between one to three. But every once in a while, I get a particular stickler. And then once I complete all of that series, which usually takes five, six, seven treadmill sessions, I then filter to a different type of race type. And then every once in a while, I have to open up a new home base or whatever that is, because every once in a while until you open up a new home base, like the next series won't unveil itself to you, which is something that I still sort of have trouble completely understanding. But the only time I ever buy a car is when I go to a race and the car that I'm either in or don't own needs to be purchased, and that rarely happens. So, and I have a bunch of cars too. Like I have, actually, let me check here since it's right in front of me. I have 88 cars. So I own 88 cars. Now I don't know how many cars there are in the game. Maybe it's easy to tell. I don't know.
You're like a virtual Jay Leno.
But I mean, I got lots of nice cars. You know, I got Acuras, AMCs. I got Aston Martins, Audis. I got a Bentley. I got lots of Beamers. I got a bunch of Chevys. I got a Ferrari. I got a Holden. I don't even know what a Holden is. Got one of them, you know. Got some Jaguars. I got two Lamborghinis. Nice. Ooh, I got a Maserati. Got two McLarens. No, three McLarens.
Of course.
got a bunch of Mercedes, and I got 5,464,790 credits just sitting there for me as well, Brian. And again, as it's telling me, as I'm looking at it right now, I am invited to the Hall of Fame. I'm a Hall of Famer.
That's great. That's great news. I don't know how to serenade you here at the moment.
No, please do not serenade.
But yeah, I mean, how many hours have you put? How many hours?
I don't know, but lots, lots and lots. Like,
you know,
it is the perfect for me. It is a perfect treadmill game.
Yeah.
Like I play Madden League games on the treadmill and Forza Horizon 5. And when I text you and say, have we advanced, Brian? Mm-hmm. It's because I want to get on the treadmill and play the next Madden game. And when you tell me no, I'm like, all right, fine. I'll play Forza Horizon 5.
That's right. You
and
do.
When you tell me yes, I get very excited because then I get to play another Madden game on the treadmill. Because I just, there's no, I just, oh my God, I don't get a lot of time to play video games. So when I can, you know, when I can accomplish something video game wise, so playing on the treadmill, and when you play in a Madden League, winning a game is an accomplishment. I just get very, it makes me happy. That's all. It makes me really happy.
There's no apologizing.
I do realize that I get a little demanding sometimes. I'm not trying to be that way.
Yeah, your texts get a little short. That's okay. That's your, you're like, fine, I guess I'm playing Forza again.
Exactly. You gotta remember, I'm saying it with a smile.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, in anger. Fine.
Yeah.
I guess I'm playing Forza. It's, oh, fine. I guess I'm playing Forza. That's fine. Yeah. It's okay. Like, I like Forza. Yeah. Heck, I'm a Hall of Famer. You know, I like Forza.
Look, you got, yeah. You know, you need a plaque or something now for your office. I can't fault you for that. Go for it.
Forza Horizon 5, really fun. And I'm gonna keep on playing it too. Like, I'm going to keep on playing it until I run out of races. And I don't get the sense that I'm going to completely run out of races soon. Now, I've obviously won a lot of races, but there still looks like there's still plenty more. So very fun game. And, you know, you have an Xbox Series X, right?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't turned on my PS5 in like 6 months.
You have Game Pass, right?
Yeah. Game Pass is pretty much, you know, I've only bought a few games, really. I play mostly Game Pass stuff. Let me ask you a question, Rich.
All right. Before you ask me the question, if you have an Xbox Series S or X and you have Game Pass, you would like Forza Horizon 5, right?
I've downloaded it.
Really good.
I think I may have talked about it last time. I downloaded it. I played the opening sequence where it really kind of takes
amazing.
You through. Yeah,
I mean,
that's
always
cool.
That's a hallmark of the series.
Yeah.
Is those openings.
Very cool experience. And then I just never went back to it. I don't know what. Why? I think I will, because I've played all of them over time. I just been doing other things.
My recommendation is use the filter on the world map, and instead of having everything, just put a couple of different series of types of races, because it just makes it easier to feel like you're accomplishing something, right? You're progressing. You know, there's eight street races. Okay, so when I win these eight street races, I will then unlock something cool like a new car, and I will have won a particular series, and then that will open up the opportunity for a better series and stuff like that. So that's how I would recommend doing it.
Yeah,
because if you don't have any filters, there's just so much happening on the screen that for a person like me, it becomes overwhelming. It becomes too much.
Oh no, I totally get that too. I would tend to find myself on going off on tangents like the speed camera. I'd be like, oh, I found a speed camera, and then I'd spend too much time trying to get up speed to break the record. But yeah, it's a amazing game. I mean, it was, I can only speak to that beginning, but from everything I've seen, and a lot of people really thought it might have deserved Game of the Year type honors last year, among, you know, all the typical type games you see in those awards. It wasn't a whole lot, otherwise, and if you want to consider it a sports game.
Well, the only video game awards that I care about are the Press Room Podcast Awards. And, you know, since the incident, we haven't had the awards. Maybe they'll come back someday, but, you know, we'll see. But our lawyers have to take care of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long, lengthy process.
Yeah, we don't need to bring that up.
So I was going to say, Rich, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. So we had recent acquisitions of Activision Blizzard and Bungie. I think It's probably more likely than not that EA gets bought by either Microsoft or Sony. What do you think about that happening?
I don't know, because I just don't, like, I understand why all of this stuff is happening. It's just,
it's insane. The dollars flying around.
Yeah, it's like incomprehensibly large sums of money that just don't make sense to the human brain, you know, the purchase. Like, but I mean, look, if I'm Microsoft and somebody lets me buy Activision Blizzard, okay, thank you. Let me go do it, right? Yeah. If I'm Sony and somebody lets me buy Bungie, I say, great, thank you very much. You know what I mean? Like, these are staggering size acquisitions in terms of dollars, in terms of people, in terms of intellectual property. Like, it's amazing to see happen in such a rapid amount of time. Where EA stands, it's really interesting. They're so big, right? They're not as big. I don't think they're as big as Activision is, but I think they're bigger. They're certainly bigger than a Bungie or something like that. So, like, EA could only really be purchased by a few companies, and I don't know if the EA strategy works as well underneath a Sony or a Microsoft umbrella as an Activision Blizzard does, but I don't know that it doesn't. Like, I mean, sports is the best. Sports, I mean, what are 50 of the 75 most watched TV shows last year were NFL football games. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, sports is the last thing that you can sort of count on in air quotes to deliver viewers and conversation in real time. You know, and EA is obviously deep in sports. You know, they've even, between the NFL and professional soccer and the National Hockey League and UFC and a dormant, but I believe still working relationship with the NBA. Like, I mean, that certainly on some level makes a lot of sense to a Microsoft or a Sony to all of a sudden have that. But, you know, they've also got a lot of other stuff. They got the Star Wars things. They've got, you know, a whole bunch of both current, you know, franchises like, you know, Need for Speed and a whole bunch of dormant ones as well. Like, there's so much there. Wow. I don't know. Like, you know, I'm rambling because I don't know. Like, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if tomorrow Sony or Microsoft bought EA. It wouldn't surprise me if EA bought somebody. Like, yeah. You know, it at this point, I don't have any thoughts. And even if it does happen, I'm still going to be stammering and just like, you know, it feels like funny, you know, it's funny money, but I don't mean that in a derogatory term. Again, it's just like, if I'm Phil Spencer and I get the go-ahead to buy Activision, well, okay, thank you very much. I'm now going to add this massive library of intellectual property and built-in audience that there's no other way, you know, to possibly acquire. Even with the incredible array of problems at a human level that Activision Blizzard brings to Microsoft, which, I mean, that's a whole thing, you know? Like, man, holy cow, Brian. Such
some perspective. Wow. So Activision sold for $68
billion. That doesn't make sense. It's not a real thing.
Yeah, EA's market cap is $38 billion? Oh, I'm sorry. I gave it away.
I was going to guess more. So, okay, it's market cap. I thought this market cap was bigger than that.
Tell me, guess Microsoft's market cap.
They gotta be. They're one of the trillions, right? There's like two or three that are either are now or briefly were $1 trillion companies. Apple's another one. I think Microsoft was one. Amazon was one, right? Do I have that right?
Yeah. Microsoft $2.26 trillion.
Oh, okay. So they're comfortably in the trillionaires club.
Yeah. So they can buy pretty much anything they want whenever they want. Yeah. I don't know if you remember. We talked about it a couple years ago. There was a rumor of Microsoft buying EA.
Yeah, I mean, on some level, it completely makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, EA Play is an integral part of it, but isn't EA Play part of PlayStation 2 as well? Can I get it there?
Yes, but unlike...
But it's not embedded as part of PlayStation now, whereas EA Play is embedded now in Game Pass.
Yeah, so you don't have to pay additional for EA Play on Microsoft. Yeah. you know, like one of the things I tweeted recently is like, if one of those companies bought EA, the games would remain multi-platform, not just because of contractual agreements, but they're not going to cut off the pipeline to digital revenue. This is similar to the Sony buying Bungie thing and them staying multi-platform.
Right.
So, I mean, it's interesting. It would be interesting if it happens. I don't think it would change anything necessarily for gamers, at least in the short term.
What's changed for me since all these companies started buying each other? Nothing. Now, granted, it's quick, right? Some of these things take 2, 3, 4, 5 years to truly happen. And sometimes, you know, acquisitions happen and true integration doesn't happen. But as a consumer of video games, and I realize that this I think runs counter. One of the reasons I'm so glad I'm not like extremely online anymore. But I'm pretty confident, you know, there's that the gaming community, as it were, the consumer side of the gaming community isn't exactly celebrating these acquisitions. And I'm not suggesting that they should. But me as a consumer, like I was talking with my son. I picked him up from school the other day when he's on the way home. And he's like, you know, other than like Breath of the Wild 2, there's not really a whole lot coming out that I'm like that excited about. I'm like, yeah, but you know what's interesting? Is we have access to basically every video game right now. Like, if you had told me when I was his age that I could come home and I could turn on, you know, one of two or three devices, and I could basically, like, my Switch, I love my Switch. I have, obviously, a ton of Switch games, plus I've got the Nintendo Online Service that gives me a bunch of old NES games and SNES games, and now it's got old Sega games. Like, that thing is a museum now. I've got Microsoft, obviously the Game Pass gives me access to all this stuff, you know, and every game that I've bought since like the 360 and definitely since the Xbox One, I've still got access to. So like I've got hundreds and hundreds of games there, and on PlayStation 5, I've got PlayStation Now, which is spectacular. Like the amount of games that we have instant access to, and yes, we pay for that. I'm, you know, but the value that these services bring for what they cost. Yes, they're expensive, but in my opinion, you get a lot for what you pay for. It's astounding. So like as a consumer, I'm drowning in great video game experiences of every possible kind. So, you know, if that's the result of industry consolidation, okay, right? Like, there's no way, Brian, that you can name a better time to be a consumer of video games than 2022. No,
As long as you can actually get your hands on one of the consoles.
Right. And again, I've said this many, many times. Video gaming is a very expensive hobby, right? If you want to play video games, you got to have some money. That's unfortunate, right? Thank God I have the purchasing power to have these machines and to pay for these services, most of which I don't use nearly to what I could, but just having them, knowing that I can play any of these games whenever I really want to, is the kind of thing that I'm happy. That's where I spend my disposable income, right? I don't go to the movies that much. I don't, you know, I'm not into getting new cars. Like, you know, we all have different things that we like to spend our money on. With me, generally speaking, I'm happy to pay for PlayStation Now and Game Pass and the Nintendo Online. You know, that's a few hundred dollars a year between those three. I'm delighted to pay that, even if I don't use them that much. Just to have them makes me happy.
I think we're also getting to the point where you'll be able to own one console and you're not going to be feel like you're missing out on a ton of other stuff.
Well, we've been saying that for a long time, but I think you're saying something different than we've been saying for a long time. You said the key, missing out on that much. There's a lot more crossover now. There's a lot less platform specific games Nintendo doesn't match that. If you're talking Sony, Microsoft, there's a lot more commonality, a lot more homogeneousness, if that's a word. I don't think it is. But Nintendo is still very Nintendo.
By the way, there is one game coming up I'm not sure if you're aware, for the Switch that I think you'd want to get. It's a game that I really liked on mobile. Do you remember Retro Bowl?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, that's coming to Switch next week for just $3.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
I played a season.
Yeah, I had a good time. That was great. Yeah, like, I started playing when I was on an airplane. And
now, is that going to have the same mechanics, like sort of a touch slide? Because, like, you know, it's not really, you don't control it in a traditional Tecmo Bowl way. You direct them more than you control every step.
Yeah, I'm looking at a screenshot on the Switch website, and it's got a diagram with the controller. So it's got aim with the left stick, and then hand off with one of the buttons. Or aim with
changing the controls or if they're keeping them the same. It'll be interesting. But that isn't that made. I could be completely wrong here. If I am, I apologize. But doesn't that come from the same person who made New Star Soccer?
So I don't remember if it's I don't know if it's the same person, but it is New Star. That's the developer.
And look, if you search deep in the archives of this show,
oh, yeah,
you will find multiple episodes where we interview him, because New Star Soccer for at least a year.
Oh, amazing.
Time is very challenging for me. It could have been 4 months, could have been 3 years. For some period of time, New Star Soccer was a big part of my life.
Yeah.
And we had the creator on a couple of different times.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it on Switch, too. It'll be interesting.
Absolutely. I'll buy that.
Yeah,
without even knowing how to play it, I'll totally buy that.
Yeah, only $3. I mean,
$3. I mean, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, $70. It's $3.
You want to talk some Madden, or you want to talk some show first?
Let's do it. Well, whichever direction you want to go. What do you want?
Let's transition to MLB the Show, because I was kind of getting at something there as far as not needing all the consoles.
Right.
In order to play all the games. And that's because one of the big features with the show is cross-platform and cross-progression.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I would not have expected it. They didn't have that between PS5 and Xbox Series X last year, did they? Or did they?
They might have. I'm trying to remember. I think they had cross-platform.
I bought the PS5 version.
Cross-platform, but maybe not cross-progression. I'm trying to remember, or if the cross-platform ever worked. It may have had it, and it never worked.
I don't know. But regardless, to me, that's an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's definitely, I mean, that's the most interesting thing that came out of the news for MLB The Show 22. I mean, we got Shohei Ohtani as the cover guy, which is a pretty,
love it.
Pretty natural fit there.
Love it.
First time ever, it'll be on Nintendo Switch. As we talked about Switch there, too. That's interesting. I mean, I'd imagine that's going to be more like the PS4.
I want to know. Like, I don't even know if the Switch can handle it. The Switch can't handle a full PS4 version of this game, right? Like, it's going to have to be something very specific, I would think.
Well, as far as I can tell, with the details, the feature details, which they do have split kind of details between last gen and new gen, or next gen, or this gen, whatever you want to call it. So there's differences between the two. Things like the Create a Stadium is not in the old
version
like last year. But it's not, you know, I don't know what it's going to run like on Switch. I mean, very mixed results as far as like NBA 2K and FIFA on Switch.
What's weird is I love my Switch. I have multiple Switches. I'm up to my fourth now. I actually just bought an OLED Switch. Haven't even opened it up yet.
Mm.
Just got here like a day or two ago, because I didn't get the OLED Switch when it came out. And then, you know, I remember just the other day, I'm you know, because I have a day one launch Switch, and it's old. You know what I mean? Like when you play the Switch like we do, you know, we don't play it all the time. But and then my son has a Switch Lite, and that one has really been beaten around the block. And then I actually have a spare Switch Lite, which I've kept in my video game closet, just almost as a backup. And then the other day, I just searched on Amazon for an OLED Switch, and there was an OLED Switch for the retail price from Nintendo. And there was like two of them available. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get one. So I did. So anyway, the only reason I'm saying that is I love the Switch. I love Nintendo. I love my Switch. It's an amazing machine. But I have not played sports games on it. Like, I think I got the first FIFA that came out on it and played it for 20 minutes and was like, yep, it's FIFA, right? It just for me is not a, it's not a, you know, I have not bought and played any of the NBA 2K games on it. But as you know, I play NBA 2K 22 on my PS5 all the time. Like that's my third of the three treadmill games. It's Madden, it's Forza, and it's NBA 2K. But sometimes I play NBA 2K off the treadmill just because it's so good on the PlayStation 5. Oh my God, it's so good. But I've never, you know, but the reason I don't play sports games on my Switch is because I have a PS5 and I have an Xbox Series X, and that's how I experience my next generation sports games. So I don't know if I'll get it for the Switch, but I might. I might. I'm not saying I won't. I'm very likely going to do what I did this year, which is buy it for the PlayStation 5 only because to me that feels like the where I'll get the best possible experience. And so we'll see. But, you know, I'm interested in how it will perform on the Switch. Because if it's a smooth experience on the Switch, I'll definitely be tempted to pick it up.
I think the concern would probably be the biggest – or one of the biggest complaints with the show in recent years prior to moving to the PS5 was that it had frame rate issues. You know, there are just inconsistencies in visually and in performance, and you're going kind of backwards on the Switch. I think it'll probably be fine. I think it'll probably be okay, but if you really care about MLB the Show and you have access to a PS5 or an Xbox, you're probably not going to want to bother with it on there, especially at full price, you know?
Well, again, I mean, like, you know, someone like me, who I'm blessed to have all three current consoles, if I get the show for the Switch, you know, it I don't even know where I'm going with that. Other than, like, I know that I'm not going to have I feel like in my bones I'm going to have the best experience of the show on the PlayStation 5. That's where I feel. I don't know that that's technically true. It could be possible that the Series X could deliver 1.5, you know, extra milliflops of gigadorps that, you know, kick up the triple sec notches a couple of kilometers.
Yeah, you love those. You love those gigadorps. Yeah.
So, you know. But it just feels to me still like home on the PlayStation 5, which is when I'm going to be playing it.
You know, I think we went
over
this.
But if I hear that it's fun and it plays smoothly on the Switch, it's going to be tempting, right? Because I don't travel very much, right? Like, you know, again, if I traveled more, that's another thing. I don't go anywhere anymore, generally speaking, right? Occasionally I'll go here and there, but I'm home a lot more than I ever used to be. So it's again, less of a reason. If I've got a PlayStation 5 and an Xbox Series X, there's less of a reason for me to get the show on the Switch. But, you know, how many people out there just have a Switch and now they can play the show? I mean, that's huge. Yeah.
I mean, there's been nothing on Nintendo to match that. So I think the appeal is definitely in the portability, right?
Look, not for nothing. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I played hundreds of hours of the show and its predecessor on the Vita and the PSP.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hundreds of hours. I loved playing the MLB games, but that was before they were called the show. It was just called MLB, you know, 2000, 2002, whatever. Like, I played so much of that on the PSP. And then I'll never forget the Vita. The first couple MLB, the shows on the Vita were, I just couldn't believe I was playing this, you know, because you're only a couple years removed from, like, Game Boys and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it was such a great experience. And I commuted. So I took a train every day. So, like, MLB on the Vita, when I was taking the train every day, was, I mean, you could not have matched an experience for where I was, you know, what I did on a daily basis. You know, like, now commuting on a train every day, that'll never happen for an old man like me who works in software. But back in the day, dude, that was amazing. And so, to your point, the portability, being able to take the show on the go is a really, really tempting experience. You know what I mean? Like, that could be really good. In the right situation, you know,
I think one of the big failings of the other sports games on Switch is that you're basically just buried over there. So if you play FIFA and you play Ultimate Team, It's not a very intriguing experience just to be locked on the Switch, but here you can, you know, you can continue your Diamond Dynasty on Switch and then go back to your console when you're at it and continue it, or your franchise, whatever you need to do. I think that really makes it an intriguing option, at least. Now, you said you're going to buy it. We had this discussion last year. You're going to buy it on PS5. You think it's a better potential experience? You know, it may just be tradition. But
it's completely in my head. It's completely in my head.
There's one difference, and that's the controller. We talked about that before, too. Ooh, the controller is better.
It is. It's a darn nice controller.
Yeah. But again, you don't have to buy it on Xbox again.
I know.
That's insane that it's, again, in Xbox Game Pass.
Not arguing with you.
Like, that is just remarkable to me. It continues to be essentially
free.
I'm
not saying it's definite, right? I'm not saying it's definite, okay? I haven't purchased it yet on the PlayStation 5.
You could get it on Game Pass. Well, you know you're going to like the game, so I guess it doesn't matter. But
and I think one of the reasons I got it on PlayStation last year, and again, I could be wrong, but one of the reasons one of the additional reasons, other than I just felt like it would be the best experience, was because I didn't think that I'd be able to, you know, take my March to October and play it on both the Xbox and the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Right. And so I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to, if I. Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I'm not even trying to justify anything. You know, I'm lucky that, you know, $70 like doesn't make or break me. And if I really want to spend $70 for the show on the PS5, I can do it. But like I said, I haven't pre-ordered it. It's not a done deal. I might just play it on the Xbox, Brian. It's possible. Okay, you might be browbeating me into doing this. You just might.
I didn't know I was doing that yet. I was going to get to it.
You're going to.
No. So yeah, I mean, it surprises me again. They didn't do it last year. It appears they're not doing it this year. It just surprises me that on the Sony side, they're not doing anything for their consumers. Even if I'm not saying they have to make it free through like PlayStation Plus or something, but they're not adding in some bonus or something for people over there, because it feels like they're getting screwed, kind of, the PlayStation people.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, who knows what constraints and agreements are in place? You know what I mean? Like, I gotta believe that the guys who make this game are just like most other companies in the world. They don't have enough people to do everything that they want to possibly do. And I think that everyone over there is doing everything that they absolutely positively can. On the development side, on the marketing side, on the biz dev side, you know, I just think things, you know, it's so complex, and there's so many different parties involved, and there's so many different things going on. You know what I mean? Like, who knows what ultimately different fans will get on the different things. Like, you know, I'm confident that, I mean, look, again, I'm a good example. I bought the game on PlayStation 5 last year, and I'm happy I did. It was great. It was wonderful. Fantastic experience. When I bought the game on the PlayStation 5, I'm going to have it now forever, Brian. You know what I mean? Like, on the PlayStation 6 or 7, I'm still going to be able to go back and play MLB The Show 21.
You're not going to do that.
I'm not going to, but I can. And some games, right, aren't released every single year. Like, I bought Far Cry 6 on the PlayStation 5, mm-hmm. right? And I'll be able to play that in a few years, mm-hmm. and a few years after that. And I don't know how long the show will stay on Game Pass. Maybe forever. Maybe a year. I don't know. You know. So, and of course, there's still the option to buy it on the Xbox as well. Yeah. I don't even know what I'm getting at, other than, you know, I don't feel as if I'm being disrespected by.
Well, you
Sony.
Have options. I'm mainly talking about like the people who've been playing the show for a decade, and they only own Sony consoles.
Dude, I've played every single version of the show ever. I bought every single version of the show ever since it's been a franchise, and sometimes on multiple consoles. Quite often, I mean, every year that there was a game for both the Vita and the PlayStation 2 or 3 or whatever, it was, like, I bought both. Like, I'm the definition of the show consumer. There hasn't been a version of the show that I haven't purchased. Not one. I don't feel disrespected at all.
Well, yeah, because you own an Xbox. If you only owned a PlayStation, it wouldn't bother you?
No, but these aren't the kinds of things that bother me.
That's true. You are a unique individual.
I mean, I'm not saying people shouldn't be. I'm saying it doesn't bother. I'm not going to pretend to be bothered by this, I guess, is what I'm saying. It doesn't bother me at all. But
let me ask you,
many
if this,
things like that.
Does this bother you, Rich? We got kind of an outline of features and not a single mention of franchise mode.
No, that doesn't bother me because all I care about personally is March to October. That's what I care
Rich.
About.
Well,
I can't
you'll
play
be happy to know, Rich. In March to October, you can use created stadiums and custom uniforms.
Yeah, I won't do either of those things. I'm just going to start playing the game. This is how, that's how I play. I'm going to pick the Mets and I'm going to play March to October as the Mets. And then I'm going to try to win the World Series. Period. That's how I'm going to play the show this year. I love that mode. It's so good. They made it for me. They made it for me. It's perfect for me. I love it so much. It has ruined every, and I'm not being completely serious, but it's ruined every other mode for me. I couldn't possibly be bothered to play 162 game franchise. I couldn't possibly be bothered to play Road to the Show. Mm-hmm. No need. March to October is the perfect console baseball experience for me. I love it. Love it.
So, with the lockout going on, you may not be able to speak to this for different reasons, but like, I'm a little bit concerned as this stretches on that, you know, like it looks like the game is going to release in early April. It's got a release date. I don't think anything happening between now and then is going to change when the show comes out. But when it releases, man, the rosters are going to be sloppy because most of the free agents.
Yeah. I mean, what are they supposed to do? If there's no updated rosters, you take last year, you put the signings that they had, and then you say, hey, as soon as we got the info, we'll have it. That's the only thing you can do. That's what we had to do during the pandemic year, right? Yeah. Like our game came out like a week after they canceled everything. We had to scramble like, all right, here's what we got. And God help us if they play baseball again, you'll get it. And we did, right? There's no other option. And no one should, I mean, there's not one person out there should be unhappy about that. What are you supposed to do? There's nothing you can do.
Yeah. Well, we're in early February now. Hey, you know, if they get something worked out here in the next month, should be okay. Like, the show is going to release in an incomplete state that's outside their control. You know, they're probably going to be things that are agreed to that are, you know, unique to the season that aren't going to be in the video game.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Unfortunate.
Like,
so,
type of playoffs, DHs. Yeah, there's major stuff that nobody knows what it's going to be.
It's crazy.
That is a real pain in the neck for people who make video games. Okay.
Yeah, it's they love uncertainty. Yes.
But everyone who plays these games gets it and they understand. Give us a little bit of time and we'll update it with everything as soon as we can, very quickly. I mean, you know, these franchises have proven they can do that, right? Everyone understands. It's not a problem. It's not
what
a
weird
people would
years.
Be much happier to have something in their hands than not. And yeah, I know the rosters aren't going to be what they are going to be, but you know, give them a couple of weeks and they'll be perfect.
Man, what a weird couple of years between the virus and lockout. And just like the circumstances for these games and for the show in particular to work under and produce a video game are extraordinary. So
we'll write a book one day, Brian. We'll write a book.
Yeah. Let's talk Madden, Rich.
Let's do it.
You want to start? We've got two leagues we're in. You want to start? Which one do you want to start? You want to start with our own personal league with one other person?
Start with the league where I'm the defending, or I was the defending champ.
Yeah,
I was until a couple days ago.
Yeah, your Indianapolis Colts were coming off a Super Bowl victory.
Yes.
Over the CPU. Right?
Yes. Well, hey, you can only play who's in front of you,
Look, we were, Dylan and I were both, we picked rebuilding teams. I don't think we really thought
we
were going to do it. What?
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. No, when I started that season, I thought I was going to tank for the number one pick.
Oh, really?
And then I made the playoffs, so.
Well, you traded for my man Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, that was the big thing because you can't really, It's really awkward experience to play with a left-handed quarterback, Tua. I started with him the first couple games, and I couldn't do it. So I shipped him out in favor of Jalen Hurts. And this past season, he won MVP. So it was a smart move on my part.
Foreshadowing of next year's NFL season.
Yeah. well, that's bold. That's a bold one.
I'm a big Jalen Hurts fan. Big fan. Big fan.
So, yeah, so you were coming off your Super Bowl victory.
Yep.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You were pretty happy. You're like, if I don't ever win another game, I'm okay with it.
Yep. It's true.
Yeah,
it's
totally you got true. It.
Until the first game of the next season, and then I don't feel that way at
all.
Yeah,
by that point, you're texting me how you hate exactly. everything.
Yes, not the game. I hate myself for not being able to play.
You're never
going to
win another game.
Exactly. Well, that's four string. You're switching leagues.
Yeah. No, well, yeah, I'm just saying those are the type of texts. Those are the type
playing,
of
yeah. Those are the type of texts. You're absolutely right. You're totally right. Yes.
Yeah.
But I just want to be clear. It wasn't in our small league. Those texts were four string league related.
Correct. But they all blend together for me, as you can imagine. So you continued on with the Colts because you're not going to bail on the team.
No, and I had built a whole coaching tree. Dedicated, as always, number one, to building out, the best possible offensive line buffs that I can, because I love the offensive line. Because if you have a great offensive line in real football, you have a better chance of winning than teams that don't, period. It's just, and then when the Eagles in real time 2021 did what I've been doing in video games for the last 10 years, Brian, I was delighted. That might have been the most single satisfying thing for me in watching the NFL in the 40 years or so that I've been watching it, is that this year the Eagles, in real time in front of me, turned into the type of team that I play in Madden, which is focused on having – and this – we're going a long time back. Remember way, way, way back in the day when you, me, and S. Gibbs and Z. Farrells and probably TJ and Chris Jardine, we went through a draft and how would we draft. And I picked all offensive linemen for the first like five picks, right? I'm obsessed with great offensive line play because that's how you become a winning team. Right. So what's up, Rocky? So, I gave that up. After the second year, which I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just love that Madden gives me the opportunity to do that, to say, all right, I could go five different directions. I could make my skill players great or invest in personnel. I have the opportunity to buff my offensive line, through over the course of a year, like having influence on what gives me the extra points. And then, my God, it's amazing. So I went all in on that and it paid off. I won a Super Bowl and then I made it to the AFC Championship game where I faced off against you in season two.
Yeah, my team's kind of a juggernaut right now.
Woo, yeah.
Offensively,
it wasn't a terrible game. Like it wasn't an absolute blowout, but there was no doubt that you were going to win that game.
You're better. I was just clicking. And I kind of crafted that team. And again, you have your style.
I hear you smiling. Yeah. You were smiling.
Well, I wasn't smiling with the Super Bowl because I faced off against Dylan. It was
what happened?
This is something, that comes up every now and then. We've played, it's the kind of same with you and I, how we usually play close games. I've played against him so many times over the years that it's like no matter what you're doing, the games are going to be tight. And so it was a really intriguing game back and forth. We each had a couple stops. We each had a couple forced turnovers and they weren't cheap. They weren't cheap interceptions. They were really kind of impressive interceptions. We got into the end of game situation where he was, okay. So I was up by four. He went down and scored a touchdown, but it was really, I was letting him score a touchdown and then he hesitated. I don't remember the specifics now, but it was a crazy situation at the end where he regretted scoring, early, which gave me time to go down and get into field goal range. I had no timeouts, but I was able to move down like 40 seconds left. I got into field goal range. It was like a 55.
It was like a Packers Broncos Super Bowl situation,
man,
where the Packers let the Broncos score
that
touchdown so they could at least get the ball back, you know, instead of having the Broncos bleed out the clock and then score. Like, all right, just go ahead and score so we can get the ball back and we can try to win.
I got into field goal range. And he, you know, I was out of timeouts. He had timeouts, so he iced me, right? And as soon as I knew he was going to ice me, I was like, I'm probably not making this kick. Like, I don't know how, especially in an online game, I don't know how successful people out there are with ice kicks.
Kicking is the worst.
But it's tough.
It's the worst in an online game is because you never know. Like, I missed a 22-yard field goal in a four-string game the other night because – evidently, because I was so close, the kicking meter was a lot slower, which is theoretically easier. Mm-hmm. But I'm so used to having to press it, like when it's only halfway down coming back because of the lag, it wound up being a terrible kick and I went way to the right. Oh, kicking in online leagues is absolutely the hardest thing to do.
You've started mostly going for two.
Yeah, because I'm just giving points away because I can't, like, I'm not an idiot. I know how to kick in Madden. When I play an offline game or when I play an online game just against the CPU, like, I don't have the problem. It's fine. I can kick. But when I'm playing against a human in Madden, kicking does not work. So I go for two because otherwise I'm just leaving points on the table.
No, it kind of makes sense, though. I mean, got you back in the – we'll get into your game against the Bears in the other league. But, yeah, so I was iced, and then my kick goes wide left. You know, if I had made it, we would have gone to overtime. He told me he was pretty sure if it went to overtime, he was going to lose. He just had that feeling with the way the end of the regulation had gone.
Right.
But yeah, it goes wide left. His Bears. Congratulations, Chicago Bears fans. You know what's funny? So he had, why am I blanking on quarterback? Justin Fields. So Justin Fields leads him to a Super Bowl victory. And this seems like something you might do, Rich. Like, he drafted a quarterback. He got a really good quarterback later in the draft. It was like third or fourth round, hidden development trait quarterback. And so we're in the preseason now, and he texts me and says, we've got a quarterback controversy in Chicago. He may put the rookie in and trade Justin Fields.
Well, remember, I won the Super Bowl in the first year with Carson Wentz. I cut him.
Yeah.
As soon as the game was over, cut him.
Well, you need
James Winston was my quarterback, and hey, he helped me get to the AFC Championship game. You know, like, it's not like I had a terrible year. I made it almost all the way back to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Winston's going to be, well, it doesn't matter, as we'll get to in a minute. I'm not in charge of the Colts anymore.
So I also reacted to something that happened in the Super Bowl. There were a couple plays where I was pretty sure I had a big play waiting for me downfield, and Khalil Mack just completely destroyed an offensive lineman and disrupted everything. In the offseason, I upgraded my offensive line. You'd be proud of me, Rich. My offensive line is significantly better. I used a lot of my draft pick. I had some extra draft picks. I used some of them in trades. I acquired more draft picks with some dispatching a few guys that I wasn't going to be able to re-sign or guys that I was going to cut anyway. Picked up some picks and consolidated those and just made my offensive line a whole lot better. And I'm pretty much as good everywhere else on the team now, but better on the offensive line. So your theory is going
to
be interesting.
That's why I had to win my Super Bowl. That's why I had to win my Super Bowl, because I knew, like, you know, and it's similar in four string, right? Like, I made the playoffs in my first season in four string, but like in year two, everyone has gotten a lot better and I've stayed the same. I kind of felt the same way. I was like, when you guys handed me that Super Bowl championship on a silver platter, because both of you lost before I got to play either of you in the playoffs, which never happened. You know, I just knew. I was like, okay, well, thank God I won this, because you and he both know how to build teams. And
that's
I'm
my
opposite.
Favorite part of it. Yeah,
that's I'm the opposite. I just want to show up and go.
Yeah.
And now I'm
This is so interesting. Yeah.
So you lost the Super Bowl, so he's the champion. He's now in another year, so he's got to figure out, do I do what Grisham did and just cut my Super Bowl winning quarterback, or do I not? You've got now a super team in place, and I
took over
the Philadelphia Eagles based upon your recommendation. Like, well, you could take the Eagles, the Colts, or the Bears. I'm like, or not the Bears, but, you know, the Ravens.
It's like Ravens and...
Ravens and somebody else. And, yeah. Like, you know, I didn't get past Eagles. I'm like, that's it. I'm the Eagles. I'm in.
Well, you have to explain why, though. It's because
we're in year three. You've got, you know, you've got a coaching and a talent tree that's built all the way out. So you got buffs up, down, left, and right. So does Dylan. And now I show up and Vince Fangio is the head coach of the Eagles. I'm like, how did this happen? So I get rid of that guy. And now I install Rich Grisham as the head coach, and now I got nothing.
Okay.
No zip, zet, nothing. I don't know who's on my team. I got no skill, no talent tree. I am starting at ground zero, and you guys are both light years ahead of me. I have no chance.
This
and
is
that's
the
okay.
thing, though. I told you that somehow in our offseason, the Eagles became a super team. They signed Aaron Rodgers and Tyreek Hill. So you have some dynamic.
Aaron Rodgers is 47 years old.
It doesn't matter.
And Tyreek Hill is good.
He's rated 98 in that.
I got no problem with Tyreek Hill, but Aaron Rodgers, you know. And Brian, I don't pass. I only pass because you have to pass sometimes.
Man, there are plays, Rich, if you have Tyreek Hill, there are safe plays that are basically running plays. You just get it into his hands and into the open field.
Well, now this is fun. I'm going to be forced to be a very different Madden player now because I've got Aaron Rodgers and Tyreek Hill. I have no idea how to play. I don't know what playbook to use. I don't know what plays to call. I don't know. I literally haven't looked at the roster. I accepted the invite. I saw it was Fangio. I fired him faster than I can do anything, and I installed myself as the head coach. Haven't looked at it. I don't know if the offensive line is terrible. I'm sure Kelsey, Brooks, and Lane Johnson are all long gone. I hope my lot is still there, at least.
I looked at it, and I think you have two good ones and three mediocre ones on the line.
I'll take that. That's something, yeah. Right? I mean, I don't want to have, you know, it would hurt me as a human being if the offensive line was bad, because that's all I really care about. I'll take a great offensive line and Teddy Bridgewater and Jalen Reagor over a bad offensive line and Aaron Rodgers and Tyreek Hill. And I'm not even joking.
No, that doesn't surprise me. So, this season's going to be interesting. You may change things up, and maybe that's what you need, Rich. Maybe you need to shake things up because you're in a slump.
Literally, this is the most that I've thought about it as we're talking about it. You know what I mean? So, like, why not, right? I run the same offense in both leagues, right? I run the same offense with the Colts in our league that I do with the Eagles in the fourth string. Same offense, which I like because I know what I'm doing and I have success more often than I don't. So I'm now going to have a different offense. And yes, that's fun. What I have to tell myself when I'm playing these games is that it's going to be okay to screw up and not to just revert back to my old, you know, muscle memory Madden offense. I got to remind myself, experiment, customize, you know, you're going to lose some games, right? It wasn't this iteration, but was it last iteration where I started off the call? Was it? Oh no, maybe it was. It was the Super Bowl year. Why didn't I start off like 3-6 or something?
Yeah, you
and
told
I just
you.
On,
you
yeah.
I'm pretty sure at some point you texted me saying your season was over. So
right, but like I was like 3-7, I think, and then I never lost a game after that, which is weird. But yeah, I'm gonna have to get myself comfort zone is. It's not that I'm outside of my comfort zone. I just don't know how to run a passing offense in Madden. I don't know how to run. Although, I will say, there have been a few moments. I played my latest Madden league game in fourth string last night. I lost. I'm 2-4. I'm Philadelphia. You're the Washington Commanders. I'm the Philadelphia Eagles and ours. I played the Giants. The Giants beat me most of the time. Scott Binns, good dude.
He owns you. He's 3-0 against you in the two seasons. Yeah.
Yeah, he beats me all the time. And that, you know, we played each other for a long time in different games. He's good. You know what I mean? He's good. But there were a couple of plays to Devontae Smith. Like I saw openings last night that I wouldn't normally see. Right. So like maybe I can do it. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can become a little bit more of a passing guy. You know, like I think Devontae Smith probably had his best game of the year numbers wise, even though I lost, you know, by 14 or 20 or 6. I don't know. Last night, I think Devontae Smith wound up having one of his best catch/yard games in a while. Because I throw a lot of interceptions. So once you keep throwing interceptions, you got to stop.
Look, Rich, you lose. You're 2-4, but you had one of the most remarkable comeback wins.
No,
I've ever seen.
It wasn't a comeback. All he had to do was run the ball up the middle. He would have won the game. He tried to pass for like an idiot. I love Adrian Tadzanega. I should not be 2-4. I should be 1-5.
Yeah, that was, I don't know if you saw his explanation, but I guess he was trying to get yards for Justin Fields to get extra XP. Yeah.
He's being dumb.
Yeah, that's one of those things.
No reason for it. Yeah. But, you know, that's why he's the godfather of this show. He's Adrian Tanzaniga, the original sports game guy. That's him. Like, his whole sports video game reason for being is to be ridiculous. That's what he does. And God bless him for it.
Hey, look, we're having fun.
We're playing in a league right now because of him, you know? Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. I'm currently... I just went to 5-1 tonight.
So you are officially unleashed.
I am.
They have created a monster. You have done what you do, which is when you, Brian Weeda, and I say this with all respect and admiration, I really do. When you decide that you're going to really do something, you really do it. And you have decided that you were going to get really good at Madden 22 in the 4-string league, and you're doing it.
Man,
am I wrong? Am I wrong?
No, let me tell you what's happened here. If we go back to the middle of the first season, I think I have won 13 out of the last 15 games. I made adjustments at that point with my defense. In particular, that have paid off hugely. Like right now, since that point and in this season, I'm first in points against. My defense is number one. Right now, I'm giving up 13.6 points a game. Before I made those adjustments, I was giving up like 29 points a game. Of course, I was like, you know, this is my first time in 4-string. I was tentative and conservative to start. Because I wasn't sure what to expect and how to play. And so I made those adjustments. So my defense turned it around mid-season in the first season. Now my offense has taken off a little bit. I'm scoring 28 points a game. You know what I do? I told you this in a text in response when you were complaining that you were losing to the Bears before you came back and won that. I script out my first 6 offensive plays. So I pick them, I practice them on the day of the game, probably like 30, 40 times each play. And I start to learn things about those plays. Like I have maybe 3 reads on each play. And if this guy's covered immediately, then I look to my second one, who I think will probably be open if that first guy is covered. And then my third one is kind of the last resort. And getting off to a hot start in games has been critical for me. If I struggle early, I tend to struggle for a whole game. So I need to get going early, and it's been paying off. So I've also, man, the way I built my team, perfect for me. And I made a move to get a rookie quarterback in the draft who's doing really well for me. And this was a big topic in the 4-string league this week. I re-signed. So Matthew Stafford was an acquisition for me in the middle of the first season. Also helped to turn my season around a bit. So he was in the last year of his deal right now. And I'm like, whatever, I'll offer him a contract he's going to turn down because I don't care. I'm going to let him go after the season anyway, but let's see what happens. I offered him $3.95 million, Rich. Right now he's an 84-rated player, $3.95 million, and he took it. So next season, my backup, Matthew Stafford, so I'll probably be the only team in the league that has two 80-plus rated players at that point as my rookie rises here.
Just my quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. I might need a quarterback next year because Rodgers will probably retire, right? I mean, he won't play that long, really.
Who will? Who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. He Rodgers is on the Texans currently.
All right, so he will go for at least another year in our league then because we're in year three?
Two.
No,
two. In the fourth string, we're in the year two.
Right.
So he should. Right. He's probably got another year or two in him.
Okay.
You know, like Brady does, takes forever to retire in Madden.
I still got at least another couple of years with Hurts, right?
You might have one more year on the rookie deal. I'm not sure. But yeah, when his deal comes up, you're going to be in salary cap.
But I'll be able to do a fifth year deal with him at still a relatively good amount, right? Isn't it year six where the quarterbacks take off?
They don't have the fifth year option in Madden this year. They took it out. Thank you, Madden franchise mode.
The fact that I even know what a fifth year option is ridiculous because I don't even care about. I care in terms of I want it to work for my football team, but I don't get into the ins and outs of contracts and numbers and stuff that kind of thing. The contracts of NFL teams because it's so confusing.
Yeah, I enjoy that stuff. So he will be Hurts will be a free agent after the next season. So going into the fourth year, you'll have to re-sign him or come up with someone else.
Gotcha.
So, you know, you could look at trading him after this season, too. Someone might want him for...
I need to run more with Hurts. Mm. He's a weapon I don't use enough. But he fumbles all the time.
Oh, man. Well, don't say that to Justin Fields, who leads the league in fumbles. That's like, we're six games in. I think he's got like 15 fumbles or something.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, like we said... Adrian Tonsaniga is going to run around with them and just let things happen. So
he does. He absolutely does.
Very entertaining games to watch at the very least. I'm 5-1 now. The Jaguars team really playing well this year has beat some of the best teams in the league. I edged them out 14-12.
Nice.
It was a really good battle. We actually had some disconnect issues. We ended up playing about 8 quarters of football. And I'm pretty sure the margin, if you combine all those 8 quarters, was between us was 1 point. So this was like just so tough. It was a grind. He missed a field goal with under 2 minutes left. And then I was able to kneel it out.
I'm just, you know, like I said about 10 minutes ago, you just decided that you were going to get good at this game and that you're going to win the championship before string. And I love how you said, well, you know, I am scripting out plays and then I am practicing those plays 30 to 40 times.
Yeah. Against random defenses. That is
And that's so impressive against. And yeah, so that was one of my questions was, when you run the 30 to 40 plays, are you running it against one defense, five defenses? Yeah. Do you know a defense? Do you get
random
defense?
Do
you randomize it? You randomize it. Okay.
Yeah. So that's one of the nice things about practice mode. You can pick random offensive play too. I don't find that very effective because then I won't know where to find the play.
Right.
So I pick my play. Usually it's one I like with different route combinations that I like. And I come out and by running it against random defenses, I'm seeing different looks. I'm seeing how, if I read a safety on a certain play, if that's my first read and the safety drops down, then I learn what route opens up free. And if he doesn't, if he backpedals, then I know to look down to like a shallower receiver. So that's just kind of where I'm at. And I've never done that kind of stuff before with practicing. So I'm enjoying that. And it's fun actually scripting out the plays. And I do some run plays too and mixed in there. But, it's fun coming out and having a plan. And like sometimes, you know, your plan's going to get blown up. But, I'm like, okay, I feel pretty comfortable about this play. I feel pretty good about it. And then you pull that up in a critical moment. It's a lot better than just randomly picking a play.
There are plays for me, and there's not many of them. There might just be one or two. But where if a certain thing happens, you are confident that you can make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like on a certain play that I call twice a game, there's a spot on the field that if the safety, right, if let's say there's one or even if there's two safeties, if the safety, if one of those safeties, when the snap happens, comes in or drifts to the left, if you have decent protection, you know that you can hit a guy in that spot. Like there's mm-hmm. a play that if I see either, you know, if I see there's one safety and then when I snap the ball, that safety drifts even one step to the left,
mm-hmm.
then I know that as long as, you know, the protection holds up for 2 seconds, I can lay the ball out there and get a guy in stride. Right. But there's only one or two plays I have where if I see a specific thing, I know I can make something happen. Most of my plays, if I'm successful, it's still just because, you know, I got really good blocking or the guy just was really open. I don't have more than a couple of plays, passing plays, that, oh, you know, like I remember one time there in the game I played, the game I played against the Cowboys in 4th string, for example.
Mm-hmm.
There was a play that I called and the route that Devontae Smith was running was basically a vert. You know, it was a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 4 wide, right? So there's a bunch of different receiver options, but Smith was going to go deep. And I hiked the ball and both safeties started charging in.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I saw that and I was like, wait a second, is this happening? And then I just, when I realized they were both charging in and that Smith was going to be free, I waited another moment. I pressed the button, threw a nice, long, easy pass to Smith, who caught it and waltzed in untouched for the score. That doesn't happen very often to me where I'll see, oh, man, I'm going to have Devontae Smith open 40 yards down the field and get him, you know, in stride. But like that did happen. It happened in 4th string. And there was a couple passes I made even in the loss to the Giants where, you know, I saw a little separation that I don't normally see. And it wasn't an illusion because sometimes I think I see separation and then I pass it and the guy jumps it for an interception. This was where I saw an opening and I threw the ball where I wanted to and he caught it. So,
mm-hmm.
But you're much more confident because you know much more what you're doing because you plan it out and you practice it, which I don't do. I show up and I play the games. That's what I do. But that's okay. That's how I like to play the game.
Here's indicators of how this is working for me, right? Like Stafford and Chad Carnegie, who's the rookie that I really like. He's very kind of similar to Stafford. He's got a big arm, pretty accurate. So I've got Stafford currently, and they've been splitting time this season. I bring him in and out. Stafford's completing 80% of his passes. Carnegie's completing 72%. And my touchdown to interception ratio is 16 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. I have the fewest turnovers in the league, and that's obviously in our league, that's a big deal because
huge.
People turn the ball over crazy.
Huge. As important as turnovers are in the real NFL, multiply that times 3.75. That's how important they are in 4th string.
Yeah, you're completing 72%, which is pretty good, but you have those interceptions. You've got 9 touchdowns to 13 interceptions.
Yep, and that's actually good for me.
That's like, I was going to say.
That's a difference of 4. That's much better than historical numbers.
Yeah, in our league, that's like middle of the road interceptions. So like, that's not bad. I think you're just probably not taking the chances, and maybe those are mishaps.
This in the off season, everyone got better, but me, and that's on me. It's not a complaint. It's a statement of fact. Everybody got better. Everyone's rosters got better except mine, because I'm just not into doing that.
I'm still not believing that you're out of this yet, because
I'm not saying I'm out of it, but I got, first of all, you're going to win the division. We're six games in, but you're going to win the division. So for me to be in it, to make a wild card, which I did last year, which to me is an accomplishment, it's certainly possible, but I got to start winning some games now.
Your schedule softened up, has started to soften up at least. You started with three absolutely brutal games, and I told you, like, look,
got my butt kicked.
You could be end up 4-4 after this, I think the loss you just had to the Giants
lost hurt. That hurt a lot.
That loss to the Giants one.
But I got another shot at him, so I could at least even that up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's tough, though. It's an NFC
Scott's
loss.
Scott's good, but I can beat him. I have defeated him in the past. It is possible.
Yeah, you're going to have to. That's an NFC loss. It's a division loss, so that's a painful one. But, it's interesting. We got the AFC has three undefeated teams. The NFC, no one is undefeated. But we'll probably have three teams at 5-1. I don't know. It's been a fun start to the season for me. I'm really into it. I'm loving putting my team together, making some moves, and just spinning it and seeing some results like this.
To be clear, I would like to run the team. But when I say I would like to run the team, I would just like to say,
you just
hey,
run.
Brian, can you make the offensive line better?
Yeah.
I want you to come to me and say, oh, here's three things I'd like to do because of the salary cap. I'd say, great, make it happen, please. Like, I want to be clear. I want to do it. I just don't know how/have the time/want to.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we know that, Rich. We have years and years of that established. So
really?
You love
have
playing.
Have I said that before? Am I repeating myself? Come on. There's no way that's possible.
All right. Ready to get out of here, Rich?
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, it was fun. I'm glad we got to catch up more. We'll come back.
Sir.
You know, we got whatever, something interesting drops.
Talk about the show, right? Yeah. I'm getting it. You know, you're gonna make me get it on the Xbox or download it because of Game Pass, right? So
We'll
be playing it. We'll talk about it. I can't wait.
Yep, that'll be fun.
I'll get it on the Switch just to talk about it on the show. Why not?
Oh man, maybe that'd
be
interesting.
The Switch, you should get it too, man.
At the very least, I'm going to, like you said, let's see how it turns out in technical sense. But yeah, that would be a fun one to be able to go around with and have it on the Switch. So it'd be fun. It'd be cool if I could do some Madden stuff on the Switch too. But no.
Oh, well.
Yeah. That's
can't
life.
Have it all.
Yeah. Nope. All right, Rich. It was fun. Glad we got to catch up, and we'll come back another time soon.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm so happy, Brian, that so many years in, people still listen when we put the shows out. How great is that?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with those people, but thank you.
They're great people. I love that. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And it's so much fun that we can do this. It's so fun. So thank you, everybody, for listening as well.